that I labor with. They're shepherds for me. And it is such a blessing, such a joy. So let's look at the responsibilities of these elders to the flock. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. The responsibility of elders. We will use two primary texts, the Acts 20 and the 1 Peter 5 text. You remember this is the scene where the Apostle Paul is going to be, and he is with the Ephesian elders for the last time. It's a very emotional scene, but it is packed with pastoral instruction. Instruction to these elders, instruction of what they're to be about, instructions from his own life, what he had exemplified before them. Acts 20, and we'll just read verse 28, and then we'll go back and read verse 20. Acts 20, 28. Paul says, to these elders in Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. What a charge. Forget the presidential charge when a president moves into office. It's nothing compared to this. What a charge. What a word to these Ephesian elders to remind them what they're to be about. I want us to look at, just from this particular verse, I want us to look at three key things, and then we'll look back up at one other. Three key things that we see right here in Acts 20, 28. Paul's speaking to him, take heed to all the flock. Take heed, that's what the King James reads. Your ESV, which many of you use, says, pay careful attention to. It's not a casual thing. It's not a casual thing. Paul is using very earnest words here. Look after Christ's people. Pay attention to them. Keep an eye out on them. And have them on your heart and mind. You could go on the depth of this. So the prevailing thought that Paul is getting at here is, are the sheep doing okay? How are they doing? You moms pay careful attention to your kids. I watch my daughters now with their little children. I can guarantee you they keep an eye on those kids. And we're to look after them. They tell us what to do sometimes. Yeah, I remember that. I've been a parent for a while. But you see here the thrust is to make sure they're on the mind, they're on the eyes of the shepherds. And there's so much to that. So elders are to be looking out for their good, for their growth. Where are they? How are they? What's going on in their lives? It's a beautiful thing. So when you pay careful attention to, you're just clued in. You're aware of what's going on. And that's so significant for elders in shepherding. It's so important for the entire flock. And so it's not about meddling or getting involved in people's lives where you shouldn't be. It's about monitoring or caring for them. So you don't need Lee or Jeff or somebody to show up at your house and tell you how to buy a used car. I mean, you might ask them a question. But that's not their primary responsibility. But so we don't need to be meddling. We got plenty of things to care for without having to tell you which grocery store in town to go to. There's cults and stuff that do that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about looking after, paying careful attention to. It means that there's a constant or ongoing examination that the people are stable and healthy. And every now and then, one of us as elders will say, we sense somebody's on the fringe or somebody's on the edge. And it's a way of saying, come on in. Come into the blessing of God's people and His means of grace and His healthy teaching and preaching and help to your soul. So the first command or exhortation here is to take heed, pay careful attention to, look after them. And then it goes up to this even more of this beautiful picture. It says, right there in the middle of verse 28, to oversee the flock. He has made you overseers. Remind me what the ESV says for that word. Does it use the same word, shepherds, or does it say overseers? Who has the ESV? Middle of say it again. Okay, overseers. Now you have this picture or this view of, are the sheep progressing? in the first word, take heed or pay careful attention, it's be focused on how the sheep are doing. I've said to y'all, I keep a little list in my console, a total list, as long as it's updated, right, Jeff, David Holzlander? As long as it's updated. I try to keep it updated. And I keep that thing. And I pull it out sometimes. I'm looking at it, looking at your names, looking at the kids' names. I'm thinking about you. And these brothers have their own way of doing that. But that's paying careful attention to or keeping the saints in your focus. But to oversee now has a caring for, to oversee. Are the sheep progressing? Are they growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? What else should we be focused on? Then are you growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is absolutely essential, foundational to what it means to shepherd people. Are they growing in Him? Are they knowing Him? Are we teaching you of Him? Are we exemplifying it both in our words and in our conduct? God help us. But to oversee has this picture of being a watchman. You can see this where somebody's looking after. Think of these towers, these fortresses, these places where there's a military establishment. They don't just build the whole thing and then everybody go to sleep, do they? Somebody's got to keep an eye out. And that's kind of what this is getting to, an overseer. They're watching for. There's dangers. When we first moved to where we are, the coyotes were more active. And we had chickens and stuff. And I'd look out there early in the morning, and sure enough, a coyote would be coming along the creek line and cause trouble. But a true shepherd is looking for those kinds of situations, to be careful and to be cautious, or meaning be concerned in the right way for the sheep. Are they progressing? Are they okay? Being a watchman, being one who cares for them, that you would know that. I was thinking back when I was a boy growing up in the Baptist church, and the pastor, the whole structure of that church was very different in terms of how he would function in his pastoral, but he still had a heart for people, and I learned that from him as I was a teenager. I had some reflections on that this week, of him caring for me. But being a watchman, and it takes plurality. No one man can look after 200 or 2,000 or 5,000 people. Jesus Christ can. He's the one that looks after him, but it takes laborers, watchmen, looking after, and to make sure that they're coming along. You see the picture every now and then, you'll see a painting, or you'll see maybe a snapshot or something, and you'll see sheep maybe along the side of a hill or a beautiful mountainside, and you'll see a shepherd with them, and they follow him. And we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but in a true sense, elders long for you to follow us as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following Him together. But we have to watch for you. Number three, Paul says to feed the church of God. That's what it says in the King James towards the end of verse 28. To feed, or the ESV says to care for, to nourish, to feed the saints, to feed the church of God. What are they being fed? I threw a guy off this week. He came by to see me. We were talking about books. I'm talking about in my vocational work in my office. And I said to him, you know, brother, I'm not going to be reading that book. I got more meat and potatoes I need to be reading. And he grinned. He knew Philip was saying something. What are we feasting on? The books he was talking about, you can get that in Now or Laters or Jolly Ranchers or something. I don't need Jolly Ranchers. You don't need candy. You need the truths of God. You need this. I need this. We are to feed you. We are to give you the Word of God. So it's about your nourishment. What kinds of things are you feasting on? What kind of books? You know, I've shared with y'all, when Mac, early in my journey in my 20s, mid-20s, and Mac was influencing me and things, it was about what I was reading, what I was feasting on. And he and other men begin to shape that and affect how do I... Yes, devouring or loving God's Word, but other sources it would help me. Sometimes we'll say to you, where are you in your life? And what might be the next thing for you really to focus on? What book of the Bible? Where are you in your sojourn? What nourishment do you need? Shepherds have to make sure that the sheep are being fed. How is this cheaply done? Through the Word of God. As John Piper said, I don't need to entertain you. That world does it in such ad nauseum, Nobody needs to go to a church to be entertained. They need to be fed the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know more of Him, sing about Him, worship Him, instruct Him, tell children who come to the front about Him. Man, I know this is shocking to people who are church builders. It ought to be shocking to them. They ought to shut down all their games and gimmicks that they do. They ought to learn how to speak the truth. They even know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they ought to speak in such a way that people are nourished. We were, as men, blessed just to sit the last day with Brother Mark and be fed and take things in. And I had trouble sleeping, a little bit of trouble sleeping Friday night. My wheels were going. I thought, well, if Mark's going to do this to us, you just come over with me. We'll just talk. But it was feeding me. It was stirring me. The Word of God, preaching and teaching, proportioning it, taking portions of the Word of God. Sometimes it's a short exhortation before the prayer meeting. Sometimes it's the preaching. It's a series of preaching. Or it's Jeff doing the parables or the miracles. Or Lee and some of the themes and subjects he's done. Wonderful reality to that. This feeding is both in corporate settings, right here as a group. It's in personal times. Very personal times. One-to-one. Sharing. Having a meal together. Phone call. Just brief conversations in the hall, at the lunch table, before the men's time, after the men's time, wherever. It's instructing and growing you along or bringing you along in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this picture from just verse 28 has pay careful attention to the sheep, oversee them, bring them along, and feed them. Give them good nourishment. Feed them God's truth. Let them grow in the truth together. Just look back up in Acts 20. Go back to verse 20 of chapter 20. Paul gives them this instruction, or this example from his own life. He says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." What's the emphasis here? Teaching, instructing, visiting, being with the saints. What he said was house to house. What's the prevailing thought of this? Are the saints being cared for in terms of proactively going into your lives, checking on you, being with you, being available to you? And that takes on all kinds of forms, but it's very real. It's relational. I enjoy my wife because it's relational. I'd rather be with her than anybody in the earth. Everybody that knows me knows that because we're such joy. But the point being, it's relational. This thing of shepherds with the flock, it's relational. It's precious. Sometimes there's great laughter. Sometimes there's tears and hurts. But it's house to house. Are they being visited? Now, I couldn't help Lee and, Jeff and Alan and Mac. The famous list. What is this list? I'll drop a note to somebody. You're on my list for the next time of my pastoral visit. Y'all are probably thinking, what is this list? Does they keep that locked in a vault somewhere? No, we don't. Lee keeps it updated. But this list, the font size is, I think Alan and Jeff, this font size is getting smaller and smaller. Try to keep this on one page. I think Lee Dodd's mission is to keep this on one page. But what happens is we look at the flock. We look at the need, or the list of the saints, and we just proportion it out. Mac is going to take these families. Alan's going to take these families. So I thought it would be kind of fun, very personal and special to show you. And I've kept these for years. I have stacks of them, notes and who I was with and other individuals or families that I ended up being with. And it just keeps us fresh. If the Apostle Paul is saying, I taught you publicly and from house to house. I was with God's people. He's telling the Ephesian elders, be with them, care for them. We cannot even tell you how many people who have come into the church have said to us, we've never even had pastoral visits. It's not to be a scary thing. It's supposed to be a joyful thing. And it helps us. Because we hear your hearts, and we take this very seriously. And there's a very good reason. Because every week we're dealing with joyful things, big things that are coming about in your lives, and struggles, and problems, and sorrows, and decisions or whatever, things that become very personal and you open up. And I've said before, it's hard driving home sometimes because you just feel, I mean, Mark would know this, you feel so unable to really, truly help the saints. You feel so inadequate. You know it's you're cast upon the Holy Spirit to help God's people, but to be there with them and to hear their sorrows and hear their joys, it's magnificent. No man could plan things like this. Men plan organizations and they plan groups and they have the Rotary Club and all those things. This is dynamic in a whole spiritual realm of reality of what the Holy Spirit does with His people. This thing of being with God's people, house to house. And not only do we get to interact with you parents, you adults, we get to be with the children. And I've always thought that's kind of a special thing, to try to be there with the children. You children should know, you young people and children should know who the pastors are. You should know them. You should be able to laugh about things about them and share things. And well, Brother Mac or Brother Jeff or something. I was having a neat visit with Michaela a month or two ago, and we were talking about Jeff, Brother Jeff. It was really neat how she shared some things. But the point is, the shepherds, if they're in the lives of the saints, they're really connecting to them. And there's a bond that's very, very precious. And the children should have full access to us as well, to a shepherd, to those who care for them. So those are four things out of Acts 20. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I have 2 hours or 2.5 hours? Huh? Okay. Mark, I'm glad you came, but this is going to take a while. So Paul's example from his last time with those Ephesian elders to now Peter. Peter. We love Paul so much that sometimes we don't think, you know what Peter was used for? Wow. Just because he didn't write as many sentences in the New Testament, we should never forget how the Lord Jesus Christ handpicked that man and raised up that man, restored that man for great things, for the kingdom and glory of God. 1 Peter 5, let me read the first four verses. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. The duty or responsibilities of shepherds according to Peter being led of the Holy Spirit, what he's speaking to elders. He gives us three primary things here. To shepherd or to feed. And this goes back to something Paul was dealing with in the Acts passage. To shepherd the flock or feed them, it's certainly teaching. But again, it's more than just teaching. It's not just instructing you in pieces and parts. This isn't a biology class. Biology teachers, professors, don't follow those students home and care for them and watch for their soul. They don't. They give them portions. That's what they do. My dad was an accounting professor. Dad did not shepherd anybody in accounting for 42 years. He taught them. This is more. This is more. To shepherd the flock is feeding and seeing that they're going with it. Elders try to know what are their worries. What are their needs? What are their danger areas? What are their danger areas? Because there has to be a mindset to protect. We try to keep each other, right? You brothers, you'll say, you'll exhort, you know, you develop friendships, the bonds that you have, you guys at the Providence House. You should sharpen one another. You should keep one another. You're in this to the end. And it's not a casual thing. It's a serious thing. And so in shepherding, there's this hanging on to each other, going on and feeding and nourishment and growing and healthiness and staying away from dangers, the areas that could sift you, things that rob you from your past. Sometimes pastoral care and helping is to help liberate you from things that are holding you back from your past. You're seeing things wrong. You're believing the lies of the past. The enemy is trying to accuse you, and there is, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He has redeemed us once for all. Christians are subject to injury, to doubt, to discouragement. So elders shepherd them in this, or while they're in it, and hopefully as they come out of it. That there's a real aspect of shepherding the flock of God through that. There is nothing more magnificent that you could listen to on this than what John Newton did with William Cooper. It's just an incredible picture of a man caring for one. And you can hear it when you hear John Piper's biographical sketch of John Newton and what he did for years with William Cooper. You talk about a case study, an example that's really something I've never heard of quite like that. But helping William Cooper through the struggles and bringing him on. He was shepherding him one-to-one in that case. Certainly that there was corporate things happening as well, but in the case that I'm alluding to, it was his care for him and shepherding. So Peter is saying to these elders, he says, I'm one too. The Apostle Paul was one too. He was a shepherd. He was an elder. He said, feed them. Shepherd the flock of God that's among you. Be among them. Be in and around them. Second, take the oversight willingly. Wow. Or if you wanted to say, wholeheartedly. Middle of verse 2. Not by constraint, but willingly. Jeff, you want to do this responsibility? Oh, I guess I will. Really, Alan? Do I have to do that? Not that at all. There has to be a willingness, an all-in, wholehearted commitment to care for Christ's people. A tender care. A sincere care. Not by constraint. Nobody's forcing anybody. Lee doesn't call me and say, Philip, I need to see your list. Where are you on that list? Right? We're in this together. We share and we pray together and pray for you and think of you and try to have God's wisdom and how to best help. But it's this thing of a heart has to be in. You can go to seminary or you can go to other great places for training and you can learn more of the truth. You can learn more of doctrine and great truths, but a shepherd's heart, you have to get that from the Holy Spirit. All shepherds, any time and any place, need more of that. They need more of the great shepherd's heart to help them. It's not out of constraint or being forced to do it. We are His. We're His to care for the flock. And so they have to have a heart for Him. They have to view it that way. Flip back a little bit to 1 Thessalonians. Can't help but see these two phrases. What does he mean? If it's wholeheartedly, if it's the heart, the care, the concern. Paul told the Christians from Thessalonica, he reminded them how he was with them. Verse 7, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, like a nursing mother. That one that would care for a little one. Janae and Charity and Bethany have little ones now, all in the same window of time. And so I watch them care for those little ones. And they do it wholeheartedly. Nobody has to tell them, you got to get up in the middle of the night and care for that little one. That's kind of what I'm doing. My heart's in it. I love them. So there's a picture here. Paul said with the Thessalonian Christians, we were gentle. But then look down at verse 11. That doesn't mean he was weak. It means he was tender. He cared for them. He didn't want to crush them. Verse 11. And as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Look at that. So he's speaking out of the pictures of masculine and feminine, maternal and paternal. A mother's care, a mother's nurturing. And dads, we're kind of known for saying, son, you're not going to do that. Nope, that ain't going to happen. There's a point in shepherding that there's a certain picture that Paul would say, he would warn and say, turn away from that, cut that off, don't go there. There has to be a certain liberty as shepherds to say to a brother or a sister or somebody, say, brother, stay away from that. Just get rid of that thing. Cut it off. Don't piddle with that. Or say to a sister or sister that's struggling with something, and say to her, sister, don't. Just let go of that. Be free from it. Go in the ways of God. Whatever it is, I'm not even trying to fill in the blank. But the Apostle Paul was saying, we were tender, but we also charged you. We gave you directives, warning every man and teaching every man that we might present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. That's what he said in Colossians. So there has to be a heart for it. I mean, y'all know, saints, that I've had vocational work for all these years, and I enjoy it, and there's a certain care, and there's a certain place to help people, but it's very different. It's not even in the same hemisphere, not even the same galaxy as shepherding the flock. Tender care for them, not out of duty or financial gain. I think a year and a half ago, the last series of classes, I kind of snapped here, so I'll try to do better, turn my dial down. Financial gain. We had a very talented staff member years ago in Fort Worth that came here from Florida to study at Southwestern. Good guy, very talented. And he ended up getting his training there at Southwestern. And we were talking one day, and he said, you know, Philip, it's just about the package. It's about the next step and the next package. Wait a minute, what are we talking about here? We talking about corporate packages? Climbing the ladder? What are you talking about? He said, no. This is how they're, in ways, the guys begin to think. You pastor this church, you get this package, and then eventually that grows to this. You go to this church, you get that package. What kind of package are we talking about? Well, you know what he was alluding to. I kind of stopped him. I said, you got to be kidding me. For financial gain? Unbelievable in the 20th century and now well into the 21st century. What has been going on in the name of Christianity that extracts money from people? Unbelievable. How dishonoring and blasphemous things that have happened in the name of Jesus Christ that have gone out to the world. People go, is that Christianity? The answer is no, it's not. That's not proper Christianity. That's not a beautiful picture of Christ. Financial gain. Paul says you have to have a willing heart, a joyful heart in it, and it's not about financial gain. It's not about credentials. It's not about writing books. Those are great. They're wonderful. It's about caring for the flock. Because Peter adds this phrase with emphasis, but of a ready mind. You ever had somebody say, are you ready? Hey, guys, you ready? When I was playing high school basketball, you ready, guys? We're in the locker room. If we're fixing it, we're going to get run over if we don't get ready. But you know, that's, he's saying with a ready mind, being all in. And number three out of this text, he says, be examples to the flock. I'm not going to dwell on it, but he says, don't lord it over. Don't crush the sheep. Don't dominate them. Don't make them feel like you're just bossing them around or taking shots at them. And whatever phrase you would want to put to that. But he says, be examples. They're Christ's people. They're not ours. They're not. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say, Lloyd Jones was my chief shepherd. He was not. As glorious as those men's lives were because grace was so upon them, the Lord Jesus was with them, he and Spurgeon and countless others through the ages, but it was Christ. So be examples, he says. Be examples. Walk in a way that be an example to them. How to walk, how saints could learn from them. And I know every time we come to this, for the men who are elders, even for Brother Mark, this is so overwhelmingly beyond you. It just is. You're talking about lofty, glorious truths. The Lord Jesus Christ builds his men. He does in his tender mercy. He builds his men to be examples to Christ's people. And I could certainly share of men near and far that have been that to me through the years. I think of them all the time. I'm talking about weekly. If you stopped me and said, if I gave you the list of men that have so shaped and helped me, I'm talking about men that are still here today and some now that have passed. But if I said, here are 15 names, you stopped me on a Thursday, called me. If you thought of, and you read 15 names, I said, I thought of the three of those brothers just yesterday. It's that significant. Because they're examples. as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I learn from them. You learn from shepherds. That's the way it's supposed to be. And all of this ultimately goes back to how are elders even set apart. And that's not the focus of today's teaching, but we can go to the 1 Timothy and Titus passages to see the qualifications. They're not just political men, businessmen, or what other credentials. They're men that God has been building, and they have certain qualities, certain aspects of the life that He has been building for years. And then, in time and in season, Christ makes it clear it's time for those men to labor. So those are seven things about shepherds' responsibility for the flock. Whatever place, wherever they are in the world, doesn't matter if it's in here in America, other countries, these truths are universal in Christ's people. There'll be cultural differences when we meet, indoor, outdoor, dress code, etc., food types, whatever. But these are foundational to the Christian church, Christ's people, today and forever. How about the responsibility of the flock? How about what's the responsibility of the sheep to the elders? How does this go back and forth? I'd like to finish our time with four key ways that you, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of the church body, how you should view your elders. And this truth, beloved, would be true this week or 20 years from now. Some of you young people, who knows what's ahead for you. But let these things sink in, that you hold on to them, and that shapes your view of where and how you would view a church you would be a part of. You're not just there as a spectator. You're there to be relational. Number one, realize that the Lord Jesus has ordained His under-shepherds to watch for your soul. Turn to Hebrews 13, 17. The Lord Jesus has ordained elders to watch for your soul. Verse 17, Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Wow. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Do you think of your shepherds as those that watch for your soul? What other organization, political, financial, corporate, whatever, has ever had this kind of a mission statement in it? Never. Never. No president in our country has ever been, when he raised his hand, taken on the statement to watch for the souls of those citizens. No. It's only true in Christ's people. And so, to watch for your soul is to watch for the most significant, most incredible thing about a human being. Their soul. Where is their soul? Where are they in this life? Where are you with Christ? What are you longing for? Where are you going? So it means for you, for me, being under shepherds as well, it means to stay under their biblical oversight. We're not talking about everything that a shepherd tells you to do or says would always apply to your situation. But obviously when they teach the Word of God and when they give counsel and input, you ought to heed that. You ought to listen to it. They're watching for your soul. It's significant. They wouldn't just say just anything, meaning they want to do it in a way that cares for your soul and helps you along. So remember that. It actually says obey. Choose willingly to put yourself in that place to follow them. There are such dear men I know in other churches that if we were to have to leave, or one of my grown kids and family, one of their families had to move somewhere and they were under, I would say you put yourself under those shepherds as they're under Christ. Because those shepherds, and you are looking to, watch for you, as we've been saying. They guard you from harm. They encourage you in growth. They admonish you in holy living. Pastors are not just to be chums, buddies, pals, cool dudes. Whew. That's it. I'm not using those two words, Jeff and Alan, again this year, or hopefully next year. I'm not using those words again. I said it. It was painful. But you get the point. Well, I say that we kind of chuckle because that's so much of the picture today. Unbelievable. What are they about? Let corporations do their things and have their games. No, pastors care for the flock, and you should view them as caring for your soul. If we say to you young people or a teenager, we say, be careful about this. Turn away from that. Hear what we're saying to you. We've got some miles on us. We've been through some things, just like your parents. Listen, God is speaking. To stay under means you willingly put yourself under that kind of a covering, that kind of a protector. If they're up on the wall watching the fort, don't go wandering outside the wall and just go out into enemy's territory. Be careful. And count it a privilege to be watched for. It is, isn't it? It is a privilege to be watched for. What a means of grace in your life. Not that pastors are perfect. Far from it. Very flawed. We feel very little most of the time. I'll just be honest with you. It's really hard to come to this topic because it's so lofty. But there are weighty things that you feel and you're going to need help with. We're not going to give you things to hurt you. That's not our intent. Bob Jennings didn't. Mark LeCur doesn't. Don Johnson didn't. Conrad Murray. These are men who love Christ's people because they love Him. And they want to be faithful to Him. So when they watch for your soul, listen, heed, take seriously what they're saying. Who knows what God's giving you to build you up or to protect you? Just phenomenal. A second thing, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained elders as those that you can follow or learn from their example. I mean, it goes without saying, this dear man right here has been profoundly in my life, used of God. I mean, it just goes without saying. All I tried to do was just go vote and then go back to a precinct meeting in the summer of 1986, spring of 86. I didn't know I was going to meet this guy and Linda Tomlinson. And everything from that day forward, in a sense, was about to change in my Christian journey. But when somebody is watching for you or caring for you, take it seriously. Listen. Know that it's coming out of a heart of desire for you. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Just look back up. 10 verses. We talked about this just as Paul had said about their examples, but remember those that have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their lifestyle or their conduct. Whose faith follow. You will see and learn from different brethren. Absolutely we do, from each other. And you will see things in the shepherds that you should learn from. Habits or disciplines and godliness and areas of piety, areas of resourcefulness, whatever, but that they walk with the living Savior, and you learn from that. So look for that. Be helped in that. I know that at times when you're seeing the lives of the elders, you may be thinking, who knows what? Just in terms of seeing their lives, seeing these guys, these brothers as husbands or fathers or whatever. So true. That the life of the man, the life of the shepherd, should be holistically something you learn from. And we'll speak to you of our failures. I got plenty of time or plenty of things to tell you where I've blown it through the years. And I know these men would probably say the same thing. Learn from their lives and their maturity in the faith. Learn how they've gone on with God in ways where God's given them the victory. Learn from them. They have godliness that you can imitate. I learn all the time from these brothers, these men. When I look at the lives of Alan and Jeff and Lee, in particular, these men, it's just phenomenal sometimes what I learn. These men walk with the one great God, and they know Him, and they have virtue in their life, and it's something I should be following or learning from. You can pattern your life after these things. Meaning, because if they're going after the Lord Jesus Christ, you should. That's ultimately what we're all focused on. Such a joyful thing. It's significant to think of men, true men, whose faith you can follow. They're examples. We read books and we read about other men and we learn from them. That's very different than watching their lives play out. Very, very different. I think somewhere in the fullness of Mark's teaching, he said something to the effect that, you know, ultimately, what is our kids? What your kids are going to remember most about you, not your sermons. I think is what that nearly did me, and I nearly had to leave the building. Man, that's true. Another thing, remember the Lord has ordained elders for you to provide for. Now, you're saying, Philip, you kind of went off before about not for financial gain. That's not, don't miss this one. Just keep in mind that they have needs. Look over at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I'll try to wind down here so we can have just a little bit of time for Q&A, and I'll let Alan and Jeff and Mac handle the Q&A. 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward or his wages. Elders are to be cared for, taken care of. The Lord has cared for us. No, there's no hidden agenda here. Right, guys? There's not. I'm not saying just it's a fundamental in the flock. I'm talking about universal in God's kingdom, the saints, and we see beautiful pictures of this in the New Testament in these letters, where the saints were sensitive or had to be aware of the needs of men who were laboring in the gospel. And so, it is a part of the charge. The responsibility is that elders should be taken care of. They should be cared for. Different men have different labors, different levels of responsibility, different extents of their kingdom labor. Like when Tim Conway and Mac and other men, and Michael Durham, when they go forth like that, Brother Mark, and they should be cared for. They should be taken care of financially. And that's a dynamic thing the Spirit leads. There ought to be just a consciousness within God's people. And lastly, number four, remember that the Lord Jesus has ordained elders for you to esteem very highly or hold very highly in love. Go to the 1 Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Paul says to these Christians, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Know them, be close to them, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. These are the things they're doing, these elders. But he says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It's a little awkward for me to have to say these things here, but this is not about Philip today. Nothing about this is about me. This is about God's word and God's flock and His shepherds over the flock. But these are just the truths of God as they come forth. The sheep should esteem their shepherds, their elders. They should love them. They should cherish them. They should view them as men who are going to give their lives for the sheep. They should. So you have your own ways of growing in that. Now, nobody can tell you how to do that better. You just be conscious of it. Let the Holy Spirit cause you to love and see your elders as their, as Christ's representatives, as His laborers, for your good, for your children's good, for your life, for what's today, what's ahead. And esteem them. Cherish them. I appreciate so much the loving comments and things you share all the time. I'm sure these brothers hear things like that. And things you share, or notes you send, or prayers that are lifted up in the corporate prayer meetings for God's people. It's just, there's ways to do this in your own natural way. Nobody can fill in the blank for you. But the principle is to esteem them and cherish them and show respect. It's something that you feel and something that you show to the elders, to your shepherds. Let me close with this quote. When Jonathan Edwards in 1746, he went to the ordination service for Samuel Buell. And this sermon is printed in the works of Edwards, and years ago I read this sermon, and it's just phenomenal. The metaphors, the pictures, of course with Edwards, the loftiness of his thought, but He was speaking on the responsibility for Samuel Buell and being put into the office of a shepherd. And I just could have read you column after column from it. But this gets to the heart of it. I think this, saints, speaks of both how the shepherd should walk and how the sheep should view it. Quote, "Faithful ministers are made the instruments of leading the people of God in the way to heaven, conducting them to the glorious presence of the bridegroom, to the consummate joys of her marriage with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ." There it is. May God help us. May God give faithful shepherds here and sheep that walk and love them and learn and are helped by them. Amen.